He was a part of the Essenes that were right there at the Dead Sea, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. That's a group, a super legalistic group. They are very dogmatic in their approach and how they would handle their ritual self-denial, trying to be holy people. So John is separated and focused completely on what God would have for him to do. His purpose, his entire life was committed to God. His 30 years, his first 30 years really culminated in the last 6 months of his life right there in prison. So is John very convinced that Jesus was the Messiah? It was John that God revealed to him that he would see and know when the Messiah appears, because the heavens would open up and God would reveal by the Holy Spirit coming on him. It was John who said in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." This is the man. This is the man. So he comes along. This was very clear when he baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Other references that he just said, man, there is no doubt, there is zero doubt about Jesus being the Messiah. He had in John chapter 1, verse 34, "And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Wow, it's an amazing thing. In John 3, verse 30, came along and he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So we would expect doubters to become believers, but all of a sudden this amazing man starts to doubt. And in so doing, you can imagine the interesting thing. His resume, I put his resume together. His birth, he would write it this way: John the Baptist, miraculous birth. "My mother was advanced in years and barren. An angel appeared to my father, Zacharias, and told him my mother would give birth and that my name would be called John." That's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 through verse 25. His prophetic qualifications, filled with the Spirit in the mother's womb. Boy, I sure like that. Even Jesus wasn't filled with the Spirit in the womb. And then he says, fulfilling the Messiah, declaring such with the Spirit of Elijah, fulfilling Old Testament prophecies from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30, and Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. His ministry experience, naturally, again, he baptized Jesus in the water of Jordan. He witnessed the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven, landing on Jesus, hearing a voice, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with him. Hear him." And he preached to multitude. He would say, man, I started with nobody and ended up with a following of thousands. And his comments would be, hey, I'm easy to get along with. I would survive on a meager salary. I wear cheap clothing and feed. And his garments were made of camel hair, as well as food of locusts and wild honey. So how can a prophet like this doubt? Again, when something happens in a person's life they do not expect, or when something they are expecting that should happen is not happening, doubts come in. King David, he even doubted when he wrote in Psalm 13, verse 8, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Remember that prophet Elijah, remember him in 1 Kings chapter 19, he ran from Jezebel because he doubted God would protect him. Are you feeling that God will not protect you in this season? Is there any doubts that somehow God would withhold his protection and his security from you? It's plenty of examples of others that just worked and trafficked in doubt. And so we have even the disciples that doubted. In Mark chapter 16, verse 11 and 14 talks that they doubted about his resurrection. So again, what is doubt? Well, doubt is really, it's wavering between faith and unbelief. Boy, I did have faith. Now I'm not too sure. I'm not going to say I don't believe, but I'm just not too sure and unable to make up our mind. Let's take a look here. On our first point, I want to look at now some characteristics of one who does doubt. Letter A, if you'll take a look, that person will look up and down emotionally. In James chapter 1, verse 6, and verse 8. Let me read that to you. You probably could see that now. It says, but let him ask in faith, no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we are controlled and manipulated by our ups and downs if we really are doubting. It's emotional upswing and downswing. One day we feel great, the other day we feel down. We're just not sure. We're just kind of tossed around a little bit. And unstable, isn't it interesting? Verse 8 says, unstable where? Unstable in all his ways. Let's take a look at letter B, tossed around doctrinally. That's an important thing. Person that is just in that area of just doubting is tossed around doctrinally. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says this, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So a person that's doubting, those individuals, they just don't have a firm grip on the Word of God. Oh, we've been encouraging ourselves. Read the Bible daily. Read the Bible daily. When those events happen that you did not expect to happen, then all of a sudden doubts come in and we're just so susceptible to false teaching, maybe even cultish activities. We're finding that individuals that really don't have a firm grip on the Word of God, that when a cult comes on in and they start speaking something that sounds familiar to them, sounds like it's a little bit of Bible stuff in there, and they're doing some good societal work, they're really nice people, very loving, that most cult organizations really fill themselves up with those that are just uncertain. They're tossed around doctrinally, and they sign up. So be careful about that. That's just the way the devil's techniques are. Ever since the beginning of the garden, remember when in Genesis, when he came along, chapter 3 and chapter 4, when he said, did God really say? Kind of sowing some doubts. If you are the Son of God, have you ever felt that? Hey, if you really are a Christian, you wouldn't be doing that so often like that. So we have to be careful. We go into doubt saying, well, maybe I'm not saved. Maybe God hasn't really worked in my life. Watch out. Get into the Word. Let's take a look. Letter C, answers both yes and no mentally. Back at James chapter 1, verse 8, remember, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's look at James 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we say here, both he'll answer both yes and no mentally. They'll first say yes. You will find people say, oh, yeah, you can count me in. Then later they'll reconsider, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I'll just not. They're unstable. They probably can't really count on an individual like that. Persons like that, that just work in doubts and they haven't really settled what it's all about to be a person that of consistency, a man of faith, a woman of faith, being faithful. Usually those people have second thoughts. They doubt even decisions that they've made in their past. And they're very concerned about making decisions for their future. That's a terrible way to live life. I'm so glad we're talking about this subject right now. It's important for us. So when we look here, the common misconception that John had even, and we could have those, but first of all, John doubted. Basically, he felt his expectations of Jesus were not being met. I mean, Jesus was the one in Luke that came along, 4 verse 18, that he's going to set the captives free. Hey, I'm here held captive. I would like to see that he would come and set me free. He was under the impression that the Messiah would come and immediately establish his earthly kingdom. There's nothing of some rule going on here. So there was the misconception. And Jesus knew about these things, but it's interesting how Jesus did not seem to really respond to John there in prison. And in probably John's mind, maybe in our mind from time to time, we might feel like, you know, Jesus doesn't seem to appreciate all the work that I've done. John might have felt that way. Jesus is not really appreciating everything I did to set up his ministry, because at this time, when he said, hey, he must increase, I must decrease, even John's disciples were now following Jesus. So it's a tough time for John. He was supposed to be, Jesus was, the great deliverer, John was believing. But somehow, in John's eyes, he's become the great disappointment. And so we have to be careful about that. And the Messiah didn't come in and visit him while he was in prison, so he sent his disciples out to ask him. Wrote a little letter. Maybe this is what John might have wrote. Just took a little liberty. Here it is. Jesus, to be quite honest with you, I've never thought I would have to write a letter like this one. Things haven't worked out like I thought they would. I was sure you would have straightened things out by now. Rumors have it that Herod is wanting to take off my head. P.S. Are you the one, or do we look for someone else? I have my doubts. So the mailman delivers the letter. And here it comes back to John. Dear John the Baptist, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Agape Jesus. P.S. And happy is he who doesn't doubt me. So this great man or any great woman, according to Scripture, they just deal with doubts. When those things that we just didn't anticipate happening. You know, it's worth noting, find fascinating in Matthew chapter 11, that same chapter, why don't you move on back there, Jesus starts talking about how great John the Baptist is. He said in verse 11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So I like that. I just want to highlight about you. Jesus was saying John, no doubt, was the greatest. And there are some great people in the Bible before John. Abraham and Joseph and Moses and David in the Old Testament. But he says those who believe in him are even greater than John the Baptist. Let's take a look at number two. Developing believers' reasons through their faith. Developing believers, sometimes they reason and work through. Is this really what I'm believing? And it's fascinating because as we look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 now, let's move on with our story. It says, Jesus answered and said, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, fascinating because Jesus did not respond in the way that probably anybody would want to have a response. Did not show any source of compassion. There was no really expression of, hey, I understand how you feel, John. He just said, go deliver what the scriptures say about me. That's interesting, don't you? I think it's fascinating. What's intriguing is that Jesus made some other comments once those disciples returned back to John to tell him what Jesus told him to tell. So look for just a moment here, if you have your Bible, and you'll see it as well on the screen. Look at verse 7, and it says, and as they departed, the disciples returned back to John. Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, I have always puzzled me because why didn't Jesus share that while John's disciples were there? I would have thought that would have been so good for those disciples to say, hey, John, I just want to let you know that Jesus was really talking you up among the crowd. But he didn't. He didn't. He just gave the scriptures back to the disciples to return to John. See, Jesus' method of dealing with doubt is the Word of God. That's been our aim and goal in this series, the Bible, the handwriting of God. There's going to be times and seasons that will hit your life, and something will happen that you're so disappointed it will cause doubt. Sometimes it could be as little as just picking up your Bible in the morning or in the evening and reading it, and nothing comes to you. You doubt whether this book really has anything to offer, and you don't return to read it for many days. So doubts come, and it's fascinating when they do. And Jesus was citing back to John, Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. You write that down because that's what John needed to know. He was hearing that the Bible's describing Jesus and what he would do. Isaiah 35, verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. And the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongues of the dumb sing, and the water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert." Well, Jesus kind of added for good measure, "And the leper shall be cleansed and the dead raised." I just thought that was pretty neat too. But it's worth noting, overcoming doubt is not just trying to feel good with our five senses by what we can see or smell or touch or taste. It's important to recognize that the Word of God is what's going to bring us back to faith. Because you and I know, we've been working through this series together, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That's what Romans 10:17 says, faith comes. So many people I know have Bibles, they carry Bibles, but they just don't read the Bibles. They don't apply the Bibles. But if you are one that was once pumped full of faith, confident that, man, your life is going to be rosy, and then something happens or something didn't happen that you were expecting to happen, and doubts ensued, let's get back into the Word of the Lord. It's important for us. That's what Jesus offered to John. John, remember who I am, and the Word gives testimony to that. Number three, let's determine. Determined believers remain in their faith. Verse 6 here in Matthew 11 says, "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So it's important here, people that have been imprisoned for a long time. My heart breaks for those that are dealing with areas of just struggles, just maybe struggling financially, struggling with a physical ailment. Some, those situations draw people closer to God, but others, it causes them to become bitter. They just lose all confidence, and they turn away from things, especially the Word of God. Maybe some of you feel you've been in prison, and you've begun to doubt. My heart's desire for you is today, you would say, boy, I need to read the Word. I know God will fill me full of faith and eliminate my times of doubt. The only sure way of overcoming doubt is to place your faith on the Word of God. Oh, friends, please read the Word daily. We've been asking you 3 chapters a day. We've been asking you reading just really 16 minutes, 12 minutes a day, starting with John's Gospel. But be careful about those things that would cause you to just feed your doubts. Even doubting Thomas, remember that? Some people say, well, if I just saw things, I would really believe. Thomas was one that didn't see Jesus after his resurrection. Let me just read that to you. You can go ahead and write in John 20, verse 25. Write it down. It says, "And other disciples said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them," Thomas that is, "'Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" It's interesting because then Jesus appears and says, don't doubt, but believe. And I want to just cite that in John 20, verse 29. Let's put that up for you. It says, Jesus said to him, to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and me. There can be things, I love signs and wonders, but I'll tell you, that is not going to sustain people when they are in doubt and despair, and even times of agony. The Word of God is what we need. The Word of God. And Jesus even said, there's a double blessing. Man, but blessed are those who believe and they've never seen. Well, how do you deal with doubts? How do we deal with doubts? Let's just throw some direction up there for you. Letter A, question your doubts, not your faith. Question your doubts. You know, that's what John really did. He was questioning whether Jesus was the one. So he said, I'm going to write my doubts down and I'm going to send them off to Jesus. Hey, are you the one or do we wait for somebody else? I like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And faith comes by hearing the word. If you have discovered that journey with God in your life, how faith comes by your time in the word and walking out life in faith, then you are one victorious Christian. That's called the victorious Christian life. But it's important, instead of questioning your faith, question your doubts. Man, I have doubts and I need to really settle it. That's important for us. Because for John, he was preaching the right person, but the wrong time frame. He was preaching about Jesus' second coming, but Jesus was talking about his first coming as a life giver, a savior, seeking those who were lost. John's sermon, let me read you a portion of John's sermon in Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Check that out in Matthew 3, 12. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, that's a pretty fiery sermon, wouldn't you think? So John wasn't wrong with the person, his time frame. And Jesus says, listen, John, I am the person, but this is what I'm here to do. Letter B, concentrate on what you know, not on what you don't know. Boy, that's important for us. Many times, sometimes life can come and cause things where we don't have an answer for, but we do know certain things that really bring us some comfort. As a pastor, I do find many times, because we believe in the infallible Word of God. Infallible means it's without error. There is no error in this book. So when we proclaim the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the gifts of the Spirit, encouraging women in leadership ministry, sometimes our young students, because we want to work with other churches and we're happy to do that, sometimes the cross-pollinization of young Christians, someone will say, well, I don't think tongues are for today, or I don't think a woman should be a lady preacher. It is interesting how people get rattled. They're not too sure. Should they believe that or not? And what troubles me is that when one episode of the scripture is challenged or considered no longer relevant, then a young believer usually just says, well, what's the use of me reading the word too? I'm not sure what's good and what isn't, what's true and today or not. So it's important for us to recognize those areas. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, scripture says so clearly how we are to continue to walk in ways that are very appealing. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything virtuous, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So do you dwell on junk? Do you dwell on things that are negative downers or maybe even self-downers? Wow, be careful. Scripture says, dwell on these things that are true and lovely, good report. It's important for us. Be careful about that. Deal with how God has touched your life, how your life has been a miraculous transformation. There is great blessing in just believing God's word. So be careful. Do not let circumstances confirm your faith. let the Word of God be that that confirms your faith. So it's important for us. Jesus did not make John feel better by saying, oh, I just love you so much, and I sure hope that you're feeling better. He gave him the Word. He said, John, this is what is true about me. So he gave John, let's just say, the very best. He gave John the Scriptures to say, this is what you should know about me. Letter C, trust in the Lord with all your heart and not your head. I'd like to just bring it to this conclusion with regards to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Familiar to very many of us, it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So when we doubt needing to make decisions, be careful about that. Sometimes it may not even be logical, but you just know, for example, God's Word says to do it. There are so many times our young Christians, as we disciple them, and we just say, wow, this is the way the kingdom rolls. If you want to be great in the kingdom, be the servant of all. Wow, that is contrary. If you want God to just continue to bless and take care of you, trust him and offer that 10% called the tithe. Boy, that really, it's illogical for somebody that lived to themselves. It's challenging. Sometimes it causes them to go into doubt and unbelief, and they back away from the Lord. So our point is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust your head thoughts. I want to just kind of close with this story. My father-in-law, Roger Millette, was a Coast Guard captain. He's gone home to be with Jesus. I look forward to reuniting with him. Great member of this church. But he loved aviation and everything about it. One of the things, this story that I have here, is about Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Patton. He was a pilot for an F-15 fighter jet. And in fighter jets and in planes, they have the instrument panel that really especially helps a pilot to navigate when bad weather or it's dark. It's really life-saving for a pilot to know how to navigate that plane. Well, here, Jeff Patton was flying. First mission in Desert Storm was to lead a convoy of flights to bomb a chemical plant. And they picked the date because there was no moon out, there was cloud cover, and all of a sudden, as they began their mission, he recognized that his radar detected a surface-to-air missile was locked on his plane, and he maneuvered as quickly as he could to break that radar lock, and he did. But in so doing, completely confused his own thinking because his inner ear was disrupted. He felt that his plane was literally taking a straight-up approach, but the instrumentation said that his plane was now 60% leading right to the desert floor. He had just a moment to consider this, to believe his instrument. Everything in him was screaming to bring his nose down because his plane is going straight into the air. But because he wasn't too sure, he was willing to trust his instrument. And he pulled it up with 7 times the G-force. He was able to correct that. When he looked at his altimeter, he recognized his plane was at 2,000 feet, barely missing an Iraqi mountain hill. And it saved his life to trust his instruments. I believe that the Lord is saying in these uncertain times, when we are finding that there are things that we just would not expect to be developing in our day and age, why would God allow this? Where is God? Maybe he's coming again. Who knows? But we do know the sheer, pure Word of God. You and I need to be people of the Word. May you continue to trust God. May you, in times when we all doubt, everyone, no one is, will escape times of doubts because, again, something happens to us we did not expect, or something we expected to happen did take place. May we go back to say, Lord, what are you saying? I put my faith on the Word of God. Would you at this time right now put your faith in Jesus as your Savior and Lord? I invite you right now to pray this simple little prayer. Maybe if you have a Bible, wouldn't it be great Scripture just says so clearly that Jesus is the Son of God. And that God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave. God's a giver. He wants to give you much more than even some of the greatest things you've ever experienced. And it's through Jesus Christ. Would you pray a simple prayer? Dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you right now. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. I do not doubt you anymore. I give my life completely. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank you for joining me right now. I'm so honored that you spend the time with me. I want to pray you off that blessing. And if you prayed that prayer to give your life to Jesus, would you contact Hope Chapel's office? If you're on our website, there's a link right there, prayer or praise requests. Would you let us know that happened? We will send you a Bible. If you need the Bible, if you need materials, we want to know of your response to the Lord. We're so thrilled when that happens. Thank you. Maybe tell even family members or friends, hey, today I gave my life to Jesus. They'll be so happy for you. And let's get into a community called church, a Bible-believing church. God has one in store for you. So may God bless you and keep you. May God cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God cause his countenance to come upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Thank you for joining today. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.